Okay. Going live on this gorgeous Friday, April 12th, 2024. My name is Rachel, also known as Conservative Mama, and I'm going to be your host today. We'll just give it a second for people to get alerted, and then we'll get into it because there's a lot to discuss. There's a lot to talk about. So let's just wait. Can I get in here, you guys? Can you hear me? Can you see me? Come on in. Welcome, welcome. All right, we got Florida in the house. Joe, what's up? What's up? Mary on YouTube. Hello. Welcome. Welcome. All right, you guys. And I'm also on Rumble. I think I'm on Rumble. Let me check and see. Go over here and see if I can see myself on Rumble. I don't know if I can see myself, but I think I'm on Rumble. I hope. Let me know, guys. Let me know. Okay. So there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to talk about. Hey, Peggy. Peggy in New York. Christian in Arizona, Tempe. I was just in Arizona over spring break. It was awesome. So beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. New York, Peggy. My biggest following is New York. I have no idea why, but that state, for some reason, you guys join me. You join me in this mission for freedom. So thank you, New York. Thank you. Okay, let's get into it. There's a lot to discuss. I do want to preface this by saying, Lansing, Michigan. What's up, Michael? I go to Northern Michigan every summer. Every summer. Love it. Absolutely love it. But keep it quiet. It's so pretty up there. Okay. Gosh, we got to do this. Okay. So I want to preface this by saying that I will definitely upset people today in this live. Like, it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed that I'm going to say something that you're not going to like because I am pretty much going after everyone today. I don't know why, but I just woke up this morning. Well, it's just been that kind of week for me. People stating their opinions and I'm like, okay, well, I disagree with that. So I'm gonna let people know about it. And that now listen, we can disagree, okay? We can disagree and then we can make up later, okay? Because we're gonna make up later. Don't worry about it. We're gonna disagree on this, and then we're gonna make up later and everything's gonna be fine because our main mission is to go after the Marxists and the communists trying to destroy this country. I mean, that's our real fight, right? But we also have to call out things that are happening on our own side that you're like, I don't think that's right. So I have to start this out with addressing my own Colorado's GOP party. Oh, now I usually don't get that up in the mix, right? I keep my stuff pretty much federal level. I champion using satire and comedy to reach that independent vote. But there's stuff going on in Colorado, so much so that I'm like, okay, now I've been drug in. Now I have to say something because what is happening is wrong. And if I see something happening that's wrong, I have to speak up because I'm accountable if I'm quiet when wrong stuff is happening, right? I mean, that's true for everything, right? So our head leadership, our chairman at our GOP, he's been endorsed by Trump. Okay, so let's just talk about this for a second. Trump endorsed this guy, and he is like riding high. I can do whatever I want now. Yay! And I'm like, no, you can't. You can't just do whatever you want. And what I'm witnessing is somebody that's been given some power, like go crazy with it. They're like, yes, I can do anything now. All the power. And we know that absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? So I'm watching this and I'm like, this is getting nuts. So let's just talk about, first of all, not properly vetted before this endorsement. If there was any proper vetting going on, you'd know that this guy, who's America First, has made a ton of money off of importing stuff from China. So a red flag right there for me, but hey, I don't know if the Trump campaign thoroughly did any research. And also using campaign funds, GOP funding, to endorse yourself in your own campaign. That's a misuse of finances, straight up. So if something like that is happening, you have to call it out, right? Like, you can't be like, that's okay, right? Because Trump endorsed him, it's fine. No, it's not fine. It's not fine. Also, we all know, anyone that's paying attention that's been involved in politics for quite some time, know that that's Trump's weakness, right? He has some weaknesses, and we're going to address him today. He has some weaknesses, and some of them is having discernment of who you surround yourself with, who you endorse, who you back. And for instance, I mean, we had John Bolton in the last administration, guys. John Bolton, okay? That was Trump pick. Not good, not good. We had Nikki Haley, a Trump pick. Not good, not good. Rex Tillerson, not good. Omarosa, Anthony Scaramucci. These are weaknesses, okay? These are weak. This is Trump's Achilles heel. So sometimes he'll pick people that are, you're like, that's not a good pick. I wish you would have properly vetted them before you picked them. So this guy now has Trump's endorsement. He's like, I can do whatever I want. And just recently at our state party's assembly, they decided, this small group of people decided that the only way you can get endorsed or have any backing from the GOP in Colorado is to go through assembly. Now, there's two ways to get on to the ballot in Colorado. You can go through the assembly process or you can petition on, okay? Now, I have been part of the assembly process for years, you guys, years. I have been a precinct leader for like a decade. I've been an assistant district captain for some time. I've been a bonus member to the state GOP. I've been part of the reorganizational meetings that happen with the GOP in Colorado. I'm involved, okay? I also am fully aware that the assembly process includes a tiny, tiny part of the vast majority of Republicans. We're talking small amount. For instance, I had caucus. I held caucus. I hosted it about a month ago. And two people showed up in a presidential election year to participate in caucus. And then if you get in, and then just so you guys understand the process. So you get in caucus, right? And you're like, I would like to run for county assembly as a delegate. And if no one's there, you get in, you can run. You can be in the county assembly because no one ran against you because nobody showed up, okay? So then now you're a delegate in the county assembly and you're feeling pretty special because you're like, I'm an elected delegate. Yeah, you're an elected delegate because no one else was there to run against you, okay? But these people like to feel super special about it. So they become delegates, right? And then they're like, I'd like to run after I got to the county assembly. I'd like to run for to state. I'd like to run for state and decide a lot of the rules and resolutions and all of that. So that's what I'm going to do. And very few people are at county assembly. So you get elected to state. So now you're a state delegate, okay? Okay. So you're one of like, well, you're like, a couple thousand people showed up to this thing. That's it. Out of what? How many voting Republicans are there in Colorado? I don't know, over 100,000. So that's a small portion, 150,000 probably. So that's a small portion, okay? So then these people decided that they're only going to support candidates that go through the assembly process. Okay. And I just described the assembly process to you. Okay. So I am a supporter of any way you get on the ballot because I believe that everybody that wants to run for office should be able to run for office and the best person should be elected. That's what I believe in. I don't believe in insider politics. I don't believe in, and listen, this also in Colorado, they decided that county chairman and the head of the GOP in Colorado can endorse candidates. So how, just tell me this, how does this prevent absolute corruption, right? Let's say that I'm a congresswoman and I'm like, you know what? I've got an extra $50,000 in my back pocket. I'm just going to show up to the chair and say, hey, I've got a little something for you. If you endorse me, if you pick me as the endorsed candidate. What do you say? What are you thinking? No one would know if that happened. No one. Okay. So what we've done as conservatives here in Colorado is we have consolidated all power to a minute few. That, I mean, that's like straight up communism, right? Like that's what communism is. The elite rule over the masses. You don't get a say in who you want as a candidate. We're going to endorse them. You shut your face and we'll decide. That's what's happening here in Colorado. And it enrages me because everyone should have a right to run, to not have the state GOP get involved in endorsing or not endorsing or having to kiss the ring or bow the knee. I mean, what is this, right? But this is a picture of what happens when people are given power. And this is also a picture of extreme frustration. I've been in Colorado for years, guys, since the 90s, early 90s. Okay. And I've watched this state turn from somewhat red to purple to blue. And so you have this group of people, the grassroots, but they're not grassroots. They call themselves grassroots, but I would argue heavily with grassroots because you cannot be grassroots if you're not enacting change, right? Grassroots is getting on the ground level and getting your community actively involved and having them move to action. We've seen no action in the grassroots. It's a bunch of bickering, arguing, complaining, and no progress being made in taking the state back from absolute Marxists, okay? So there's frustration there. So often when there's frustration, you have a knee-jerk reaction. You have a reaction to, okay, the establishment has caused this. It's all the establishment's part. They use the establishment. They use rhino. They use these terms a lot, okay? The rhinos and the establishments have done this. So we, the grassroots, are going to change this and we're going to take all power back. And that can cause tyranny on the right side of the aisle. And that's what we're witnessing now. What we need is for we, the people, to heavily get involved. To heavily get involved. And when you see wrong happening, you have to call it out. Even if it's on your side of the aisle. That's who I am. I'm not running for office. Okay. I'm not doing anything right now. I am speaking up. I'm using the platform that God has given me to speak the truth and to use the talents and the gifts that God has given me to enact change, to try to get that middle vote. That's my heart's desire. That's where I'm coming from. So it's not like I have some agenda, hidden agenda here, but when I see wrong happening, I have to call it out. And this is wrong. This is wrong. And you can't call yourself a conservative if you are allowing and supporting the free speech that's happening right now being shut down. There's this guy in Parker. I don't know who he is, Mike or Mark or some dude. Anyways, he runs this, Parker, I don't know, some kind of conservative group. And he's shutting down people that are speaking out against the chairman. Okay. You cannot be a conservative if you're speaking out. If you're shutting down free speech, I'm sorry. Like you lose the right to use that term. You cannot use the term conservative if you're shutting down free speech. People should be allowed to speak up, especially against those in leadership that are doing wrong. So don't call yourself a conservative, and don't call you a conservative if you're all about this small, minute group of people controlling the masses and taking the vote away from we, the people here in Colorado. And that's what's happening in the GOP. And it's upsetting and it's wrong. And I'm going to call it out. So probably have made some people mad, but that's okay. Because you know what? I'm not here to be everyone's friend. I'm not. I'm here to speak the truth. And I'm sure if you're watching this, I'm sure this is stuff like this is happening in every single state around our country. And the problem is conservatives, Republicans, don't realize that in order to win, you have to get people that you might not like on your team. But we have a person right now that is all about dividing, 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 and it's driving me crazy. So I wouldn't support him, and I wouldn't support anyone he endorsed. So that's what I got to say about that here in the color. And please, if you're here in Colorado, send this to our chairman. Okay. Also happening this week is Trump's stance on abortion. Now, I want to preface this by saying I'm pro-life. Life is the most beautiful gift It's an absolute miracle. It's God-given. The creator of life is pro-life. End of story. If you're a Christian, you vote pro-life. End of story. What Trump did this week is he put out a video trying to get ahead of things, and he said, hey, I'm about tossing this back to the states. And that upset a lot of pro-lifers like me. But I understand, having been in politics for a long time now, I understand the strategy behind it. The strategy behind it is you're trying to take it off the table, right? That is the Democrats' talking point. The Democrat loves to take the life of the unborn, right? That's their passion. You got so many women out there that are like, I mean, that's what really fires them up. That's what gets them off the couch and gets them to vote, is being able to kill a life growing inside of them. Like that's their big, woo, let's do this. Liberal women. And so Trump's like, we're just going to take it off the table. So it's not like a hot button issue. Now, I like I said, I get it. But I also don't think that you compromise on this. Like, I don't think that this is something you compromise on, because life is life. Life is life. And it's given by God, and it's a gift, and we should defend life, and we shouldn't have to. Basically, what this has done for me is it's really just exposed to me where we are as a nation. And it's really, I mean, it's been very sobering for me, because I'm thinking to myself, wow, like here we are having to somewhat compromise on where we stand on life in order to possibly win an election. That's what we're doing. I mean, let's just be honest. Like, I'm tired of like navigating. Well, that's not really what, like, let's just be honest. Sorry guys, I'm getting over this nasty cold. But let's be honest with what this is. Okay. Do I like it? No, I don't. I don't like it. But I'll tell you this. The alternative right now is full on killing babies till birth. Killing babies till after birth in some states. I know California was eyeing that option. All life is precious, but if you're killing a fully formed baby in the third trimester, I there's no words for that. And that's the Democrat Party stance. But there's no limits. There's no limits. We're also looking at an open border and for another 4 years. And if you have an open border for another 4 years, you're looking at the end of America. So that's what happens if you're voting for Biden. You're looking at more inflation. You're looking at like possible serious war. I'm not joking around here. You had Blinken this last week or a week and a half ago say they want Ukraine to join NATO. If Ukraine joins NATO, we're like instantly in full on war. And you're looking at your sons and your daughters being drafted to go fight in a war in Ukraine. So, I mean, hey, if you're a liberal mom on here, you're a Democrat mom, and you're like, yeah, I'm all for abortion. I can't stand Trump. He says stuff that hurts my feelings. Do you want your kid drafted to war? Do you? Is that what you're, is that your thing? You're really ready to send your son, your daughter off to go fight in Ukraine? I mean, that alone should be like, no, I can't go Biden this one, because Blinken said it, guys. Blinken said they want Ukraine to join NATO. If that happens, we're going to war with Russia, like straight up. So, I mean, don't take my word for it. Just go listen to what Blinken said. We're looking at more war. We're looking at just literally it all being burnt down if Biden gets in again. So that's your other option. So am I upset at, you know, not taking a really hardcore stance on the pro-life issue? Yes. But I will not be voting for Biden. I will be voting for Trump, and I will be supporting Trump, and I will be doing everything I can to get that man in office. Because the other option is the end of this country. I'm not kidding. Like, we're talking the end. So that's what I have to say about that. And I get it'll upset some people, but you know what? As a Christian, I need to take some responsibility. I do. I do, Rachel. I need to take some responsibility on how do we win people over to the pro-life issue. Like, I'm not going to put that all on Trump. I'm going to put it on me. Like, what's my message? How do you reach those people? How do you say, hey, this is a precious life that needs to be saved? How do we change hearts on this issue? That should be our mission as Christians, as believers. That should be our heart, is to how do we reach those people that are struggling, that are hurting, that feel like there's no way out, that this is their only option. That's what we need to do. That's our role. So we need to take that on, right? So that's my stance on that. What else do I have? Oh yeah. Okay. So some stuff's going on in Brazil, and I don't know if you guys have been following this, but I'm just starting to tap into it. This guy in Brazil, he's gone full tyrant. He's gone full tyrant, and he's shutting down full streets. What you'll realize is people that go full tyrant, they can't allow you to talk. They will shut you down. They'll bring a lawsuit against you. They'll try to get you off social media. They'll do whatever they can because they cannot allow you to be speaking freely. That's what tyrants do, right? Ban you. You're banned from this group. You can't talk here anymore. Yeah, it's just tyrant 101. So hey, if you're a tyrant and you're like, how do I become a tyrant? How do I do it? Well, you shut down free speech. That's what you do. So we've got one here in Colorado, and we've got one in Brazil. Okay, so in Brazil, we've got a Supreme Court justice named Alexandre de Moraes, or whatever. I don't know if you guys know how to say his name. Let me know. He is throwing people in jail without trial for things they posted on social media. And this is according to Michael Schellenberger on Twitter. He's done a whole deep dive on this guy, and it's messed up. And they're trying to get Elon Musk to ban people from speaking from Brazil. And Elon's like, I'm not participating. But other social media platforms have. Like, I know Facebook is participating, Instagram. There's a couple others. But he's demanding the removal of users from social media and has required censorship of specific posts without giving users any right to appeal or even the right to see the evidence presented against them. So this guy's just like, you're banned. And they're like, well, what did I do wrong? And he's like, I'm not even going to tell you what you do wrong. You're banned. Like, who are these people? Like, stop it. And it has to be stopped, whether it's on your side or on the left, or whether you've got a full-on dictator in some leftist socialist country, call it out. Twitter files released here for the first time reveal that de Moraes of the Super Electoral Court, he controls, engaged in a clear attempt to undermine democracy in Brazil. So this guy's going full tyrant. It's now bringing Elon Musk in. It's starting to get pick up some steam. So I just want to highlight that so you guys are aware of it. But we also saw this here in America in a way, right? Like, we saw the FBI, our intelligence agencies colluding with big tech to shut down free speech. That did happen. And so this is what they do, right? They can't allow you to talk. And I'm telling you, you're going to see more and more shutdown of free speech as we head into this election. You just are. They're not going to allow you to talk. I mean, for instance, like, okay, on Facebook, I used to get millions of views. A million views on a video wasn't a big deal. Million views, no big deal. Now I get like 800 views. Okay, so clearly I'm being heavily suppressed and censored, especially as we go into this election. They don't want me talking. They do not want me talking. And they definitely don't want someone using comedy and satire to get that middle voter. Like, because the middle voter will decide this election. So they're like, let's stomp it out. That's why, guys, I need your support on Patreon. If you're not supporting me there, please do. Okay, so that's going on there. Last one, and I want to talk about this. This is a passion of mine because it involves the Bible, it involves eschatology, it involves everything that I like study when I'm not studying politics and doing all that. I am I'm literally actively in the Bible trying to figure out, what does this mean? What's being said here? So it is a passion of mine. But Tucker Carlson, who I do like, guys, see, I'm literally upsetting everyone today. So just bear with me. But Tucker Carlson, who I like the guy. I think he's great. I mean, he's got a huge following. Millions of people are following him. It doesn't look like he's being suppressed at all. Good for him. So he interviews a Palestinian preacher, Christian Palestinian preacher, this last week, and he posted on social media. And I watched the interview, and I'm watching this interview, and I'm like, okay. And it's clearly an anti-Israel interview, like straight up. It's anti-Israel. I mean, anyone watching it, clearly obvious. You walk away thinking, wow, Israel is terrible. Like they're so bad. When you're done watching this thing. So basically this guy that's on there, he's this Palestinian Christian preacher. And just to preface this, he lives in Bethlehem and he has a Christian church there, but Bethlehem is controlled by Palestinians, right? Like it's controlled by Palestine. I think it has been since like the 1980s or early 90s. Like, and it's 80% Muslim. Okay. And this guy is talking about how bad Israelis are to him as a Christian. But what caught me, and what if you were listening, like listening pretty closely, is you realize that this guy, because Tucker's like, why do they, and then he's like, why are they doing this? He's like, I don't know. And then he's like, well, why do you think like there's such a there's such heated discussion for Christians over Israel, and why is Israel such a big deal? And he's like, well, some people believe that, you know, Israel plays a role in eschatology and end times. So immediately at this point, I'm realizing, okay, Tucker is interviewing a replacement theologian. And you're going to think, well, what's a replacement theologian? And I've talked about this on previous lives. But a replacement theologian is someone that believes, and it's really growing heavily in the Christian church. A replacement theologian is someone that believes that the church replaced Israel. So Israel is insignificant. It has no role. And, you know, let's just take out Israel because they're, you know, we don't like them. We don't like them, right? So that is the replacement theologian. So I'm listening to this guy and I'm like, this guy's totally a replacement theologian. And I am not a replacement theology person at all. Like I'm completely opposed to it. And the more I've studied replacement theology, I realized that it started to filter into the church very early on. Like you got the apostle John, right, writing Revelation in 90 AD. Well, after that, then you have like a couple hundred years later, you have Constantine step on the scene. And this guy, like strongly anti-Jewish, right? So he tries to blend, Constantine tries to blend Christianity because he wants to take over this land that's all Middle Eastern over there, and paganism, right? And that's like, that's what he does, basically. So you see a lot of, you can still see some paganism in the Christian church. Also, he gets rid of the Jewish calendar, like completely takes Christianity off the Jewish calendar. Up until then, everybody, Christians, saved Christians, were operating according to the Jewish calendar. And I believe that God still operates. I do believe that God operates according to the Jewish calendar. So Constantine gets rid of this. And then the church grows and grows and grows. Everyone's like, Constantine's a hero. And I always thought that too. But then the more I studied this guy, I'm like, not so much. His mother was a Christian, but he did it more for political gain, right? It was a strategy. So he makes Christianity the law of the land and does not like the Jews at all. He doesn't. And then then down the road, you have the Protestant Reformation. The Protestant Reformation with Martin Luther, who I always thought was, yes, awesome, good job. And I do support the Protestant faith of being able to have a direct relationship with Jesus. You don't have to go to a priest or a pope or anything like that. You have your own personal walk with him. That's my own. That's what I believe. So I agree with him on that. But when he presented this Christianity to the Jewish people, he really thought that they would accept him, right? He was like, they're going to accept this. We're going to get a lot of Jewish people saved. And they don't. They don't accept this message that Martin Luther has brought to them. And then at that point, Martin Luther gets pretty anti-Semitic, like pretty heavily. If you read some of his writings, heavily anti-Semitic, like hardcore. And actually, it's been said that Hitler used some of Martin Luther's writings to justify what he did. Okay, so anti-Semitism, this anti-stance against Israel, infiltrated this church early on, and it's all throughout the church. And when you start to talk to other Christians, you're like, what? They're like, oh yeah. And then you have people that are called preterists. Preterists believe that all biblical prophecy has already been fulfilled. So they also believe that Israel is absolutely irrelevant. And I completely disagree with that. And I want to read something that I wrote. And I do feel like, because when I was praying on it, I was like, God, like, I think that, and it really, like, I do think, sadly, that this is only going to grow. I do think that you're going to see more and more anti-Semitism in the church. You're going to see it more and more in the world. And listen, I get that people are upset that Jesus was crucified and murdered, right? Like, by whether people, you know, Romans were there, Romans hung him on the cross, but Jewish were there gathered while he was being hung. Okay, we're not going to argue like all of that stuff right now. But our Messiah was killed. Our Messiah was murdered, right? But what did Jesus say when he was being murdered, when he was hung on that cross? What did he say? He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to forgive. That's what we're supposed to do. So you should not have any of this anti-Semitic nature in you. And if there is, get on your knees before God and repent for that, man, because that's not right. That's ungodly. That's not what we're called to do as Christians. But I do want to read this to you because this is something, I think I have it on here. But this is where I'm coming from, because you also have people that are like, Rachel, you just don't understand that Israel is not Israel. That is not Israel. That Israel was established by the Rothschilds back in the 1940s. And because of that, that Israel is not Israel. And it's really like a globalist empire they're trying to take over the world, and they're evil. Okay, Rachel, that's what's happening. And you're just so uninformed. Listen, do you not think that God saw the beginning when he saw the end? I mean, are you going to minimize the omnipotent, the creator of all things, the one who was and is to come? Do you not think that God saw the Rothschilds when he had written in Jeremiah that he would gather all of his people back to his land that he spoke of in Genesis 15? God lays out the land in Genesis 15. And that is Israel. He lays it out. Do you think that when God spoke to Moses and Moses is writing out what God's words were given to him, that he didn't see the Rothschilds? That he didn't see the globalists? That he didn't see all of the stuff that we're seeing in this world, biblical prophecy starting to be fulfilled? Do you think that God just didn't see it? I think he did. I know he did. I know he did. And sometimes, believe it or not, and this is going to blow your mind, God will use ungodly people to fulfill his word. God, he used King Cyrus. King Cyrus wasn't a believer. He wasn't a worshiper of God. But he will use whatever and whoever he wants to fulfill what he has spoken. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. So I'm amused by like, oh, well, you don't really know. And you know, we know. God knows. God knows. And it's amazing to me that we're just putting God on the back burner. Like, hey, we know, but we're going to handle this. We're going to stop what you spoke, what you said will happen. We're going to stop it. No, you're not. Stop. You're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop it. But what you can do is you can occupy the territory and land that God has given you. And that's what we're called to do. And there's so much ego, There's so much ego involved in all of this. It's involved in politics. It's involved in the church. It's just so much people are puffing up like they've got something to say. Sit down. Sit down. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God that's so, you can't even grasp who he is. And he's given us his word. And what God has promised, he will fulfill. And what God says will come to pass. It will. And his promises are everlasting. So the promise that he made to Abraham in Genesis 12 and then reaffirmed the land in Genesis 15 is everlasting. It's everlasting. It cannot stop. You cannot stop it. It's everlasting. Psalms 105 reaffirms, God said, when my covenant is everlasting, I will not stop my covenant. Well, people are like, well, then what about Christians and what about the Gentiles? And Paul says, you know, then we're all grafted into the vine. Yes, we're all grafted into the vine, but that a new covenant has been found in Christ. Completely agree with that. We are washed by the blood. We're sanctified. We're set free. Gosh, there is such incredible blessing and favor in the cross and what Jesus did for us. And all will bow their knee. All will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the only way to salvation is through Jesus. Yes, 100%. This does not negate a covenant God made with the Jewish people. It doesn't. It doesn't. And in Romans 11, it specifically states, because Paul is talking to the church in Romans 9 and 10, and then he turns and speaks specifically to Israel. And he says, God has not forgotten Israel. Right now, they are blind until the full amount of Gentiles come in. Until the full amount of Gentiles come in, Israel is blind. That's what we're in right now. That's what we're witnessing. But then Paul says all of Israel will be saved. Eventually, all of Israel will be saved. And in Zechariah 14, the whole world is going to rise up against Israel. That is unfulfilled prophecy that has yet to take place. It specifically talks about Jesus coming down to the Mount of Olives, final battle taking place. Everybody rises up against Israel, and only God can save Israel. Like that's going to happen because God's word is true. Because our very existence hangs on God's word. He can't go back on his word. Out of his mouth came forth all of creation. We hang on his very existence of his words. So it's sad, though, for me to see certain people that I do respect, like Tucker Carlson, like Candace Owens, various others that don't fully grasp what eschatology holds for Israel. Like, Israel's intertwined all throughout scripture. It's a whole message to Israel. It's a whole message to his people. Well, does that mean God loves them more than? No, God loves you just as much. He's not a respecter of persons, but he has a promise. He's made a promise and a covenant to the people of Israel, to the descendants of Israel. That's just true. And how crazy to me is that Satan, our real enemy, believes that if he can wipe out Israel, right? If he can take out Israel, if he can destroy Israel, annihilate Israel, then Zechariah 14 can't take place. That Jesus cannot descend upon the Mount of Olives. Like that's what he thinks. So I am not surprised that we're going to see more animosity towards Israel. And it's hard. It's hard to watch. It's hard to watch, but it's also just reaffirms God's word. It just reaffirms what he has spoken. But I will tell you this, I'm not going to back away from Israel. I'm going to stand in support of them because I know God's word. I know what he spoke, right? I know that his promises are everlasting. And to the haters out there, because I've got people that are like, that I'm reading some kind of Bible. I'm not reading a Scofield Bible, and I'm not listening to any theologian that has this same theory or anything like that. I'm just reading scripture. Just straight scripture. I do take God's word literally. Someone's like, well, that's dispensationalism or whatever. I'm like, you can call this whatever it is. It's taking God at his word. I'm not trying to spiritualize it. I'm not trying to, well, what is really trying to say? It's just, this is what he said. It's where I'm at. So, but that's my message. That's my message. And I feel like I'm going to be talking about this more because it's going to be increasing. Right. And it does make you feel small, right? Like there's this moment, like it's even with the eclipse, right? Like you're like, I'm tiny in this vast, huge universe and all of creation. And when God spoke, right, it's still continuing. Like that's crazy to think about. Who knows what else has been created out there by the creator, what else he's doing, what else he has planned. And it makes you feel tiny. It does. But it also makes you realize that God is in control. He has this. He sees the beginning. He sees right now. He sees the end. And there's such comfort in that for me. And it all ends well. It's a good ending. It's a good ending. And it doesn't make me complacent. It doesn't make me passive. It doesn't make me, well, you're not going to, you know, we got to take it back. Fight. You know, I know who our real enemy is, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers and wickedness and heavenly places. That's our big fight. So that's our battle, right? And to speak the truth and to spread God's gospel message, man. I mean, don't share Jesus. Well, what do I do? What do I do? Share Jesus. Be an example of Jesus, right? Do the right thing. When wrong is taking place, call it out. Call it out. When you see injustice, call it out. When you see corruption, call it out. Do what Jesus would do. Right? Jesus wasn't passive. Just no, when he saw wrong taking place, he called it out. He called out his own party, the Pharisees and Sadducees. Like they were part of his world. Called them out. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're called to do. So you call it out when you see wrong. And be a good example to your family, to your kids, to your community of Jesus, right? Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, that they may say, wow, what is it about that person? What do they have? You got Jesus. You got Jesus. And it should be an attractive, sweet, savory desire. Like you should be, it should be like, oh, I want what you have, man. What do you got? Jesus, especially as we're heading into these times, God knows what is in front of us. But if you have Jesus, you have that hope, you have that peace. So, all right, you guys, that is it for me. I know I've probably ruffled some feathers. I did do it in love. Like if I see wrong, I'm going to call it out. I don't personally hate anyone. I don't personally despise anyone. I'll give you a hug if I see you. That's not me. Right. But if you're doing something that's not right and you don't have people calling you out on it, then you don't really have good friends surrounding you. You don't, I mean, you need people holding you accountable. Accountability is a good thing. It keeps you on the straight and narrow, right? And that's what we're supposed to do with each other. So, all right, you guys, God bless you. Like I mentioned earlier, a Patreon. I need your support on Patreon, you guys, in order to continue justifying doing this. Please support me. I can drop the link. I don't know if I have it right now. I could try to find it. It might take forever to find it right now. But that is what keeps me going. I have incredible support on people on Patreon. They're my supporters. I actually do a one-on-one with them, a minute with mama, where I just kind of talk about certain views. I actually discuss Trump stuff and more in detail on abortion this last week with them. And yeah, so I'll try to drop it in the link if you want to support there. But yeah, that's what I have to say. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. I'm watching my son play some tournament baseball. I absolutely love watching my kids play sports. It's like one of the most fun things. It's just pure fun. My daughter's getting into volleyball. My other little one's getting into volleyball. They're going to be tall. My husband's like 6'5". So I'm going to have tall girls. I'm going to be the short one. But getting into that. And it's just fun. It's just so fun. So that's my weekend pretty much. But all right. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a good weekend. Keep speaking up and speaking out and speaking the truth. All right. We'll talk soon. Bye, guys.